of Israel. And going on to verse 19, it says, then Joshua said to Achan, my son, give glory to the Lord God of Israel and give praise to him and tell me what you have done. Do not hide it from me. And Achan answered Joshua, truly, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. And this is what I did. When I saw among the spoil a beautiful cloak from Shinar and 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, then I coveted them and took them. And see, they are hidden in the earth inside my tent with the silver underneath. Dear Heavenly Father, just help us today. Help us understand what it is that you are truly trying to say to us, oh God. Not necessarily as individuals, but even also as a whole church, oh God. Speak to our hearts this morning, oh God. We've already sang that holiness is what we want. Holiness is what you want, oh God. Righteousness, oh God. And so I'm asking that you touch us and teach us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Y'all may be seated. For those who have joined us and wasn't here with us last week, we've been dealing with effective ministry. One thing that I'll share with you is that we get to a place in life when we're doing things that become really good at it, but then we had to ask ourselves or question whether we were even effective. I'm going to recap some things that we talked about last week so we can see exactly what I was saying, but sometimes in my walk, I wonder if I'm not being effective is because I'm holding on to things. Is there something hindering me? Am I being prevented from moving forward because there's something that is holding me back? Has anybody ever felt that way? Maybe you can't move forward, or maybe God isn't trying to move you forward because there's something that we might need to get rid of. Amen? All righty. So let's have a conversation. Can we keep it real in here today? Yeah, I want us to really understand and seek what the Lord is saying. And so I want to speak to you from a subtopic of simply this. What are we hiding in our tent? Amen. What are we hiding in our tent? Just as a recap, when we dealt with effective ministry, there were three areas that we'd focus on. We focused first and foremost on always being sober-minded. As a Christian, we know the importance of being able to endure afflictions. And it's important that we do the work of an evangelist. Let me break it down even further. When we discussed being sober-minded, we talked about being able to watch effectively, which cannot be done if your eyes are closed. You cannot watch effectively if you're not paying attention. You can't even prepare for what's coming. When we look at enduring these afflictions, we needed to understand there will be tests and trials, and we must learn to accept those tests, and not only accept them, but pass those tests. Amen? Yeah, you can't be. I don't understand. Christians are so, we don't want to suffer. We don't want to do anything, you know. But if God is testing us, I'm okay with that. We understood that during these afflictions or being able to endure the affliction will help us build patience so that we can minister to others more effectively. How are you going to help somebody go through something if you didn't go through it yourself? How can you speak to someone about how to come out of this situation if you didn't experience it yourself? Now, even if you went through it, if you didn't pass that test, I don't want to cheat on your test if you didn't pass it. There's nothing you can tell me, amen? When we are tested, we must remain content. I was transparent enough last week to share with you that there were times when I knew that God had tested me, and all I can say to you right now is I failed because I did not find a place of contentment. I will tell you that I was content. I knew all the right things to say, but my actions didn't line up. I told you how I quit my job. I put my family in such a hardship. Financially, economically, and I still feel like I'm still recovering from that because in my emotions, I wasn't content with my circumstance and my situation or my job, so much so that I left out on the job, realizing that, man, now my wife has to take on the full shoulder, the burden of generating enough income so that we can be sustained. Now, my wife would tell you it wasn't her that sustained us, it was God, but I had to recognize that I needed to be able to endure this thing, and I failed at it. I ain't doing it again. I thank God for that experience because I'm in a situation right now that I want to go and walk out. But because God allowed me to experience that before, I know better now.
Amen.
Amen. As we do the work of an evangelist, we should boldly declare the truth, even if it upsets the people that we consider friends. That's difficult to do for some people because we're so into, I don't want them to be mad at me. I don't want them, I don't know what they're going to say about me. Paul told us, look, you got to boldly declare the truth. Sometimes we're afraid to do that because of the fear that exists. Well, Paul said, look, you can lock me up and throw away a key. I'm still going to preach the gospel. That's where we have to be. That's where we need to be. Even on your job, you can't afford to compromise what you believe in because of the fear you may lose your job. Guess what? If God allowed you to get that job, he'll certainly bless you with another one. But you got to believe that. Amen. You got to believe that. Somebody told me earlier, say, look, don't be afraid to look for another job. That resume ain't got nothing to do with it. I don't care how well you write it. It's God that's going to give you that employment. When God is ready to open up the door, it's him that's going to get you that. Not anything that you could have done or would have done. Amen. I don't care what kind of words you use. God is opening up that door. Last but not least, as we do the work of evangelists, it's so important for me to share with you is that I am concerned. I'm concerned that oftentimes in our zeal to want to preach the message, we do it ineffectively. And what I mean by that is that we don't teach people and treat people the way they ought to be treated. In other words, sometimes we take the gospel and we do slam people. There is no love that goes forth. We just want to go and give the gospel. We almost condemn people to hell as if that's just it. There's no hope. Remember, the scripture said, as such were some of you. I hope that many of us came to Christ because someone loved me enough to give me the gospel, to give me the truth. Amen? Amen. I only got 2 points I want to make this morning. I just need you to follow me. Are you all still with me this morning? I got 2 points. One, first thing first, we must deal with the sinner. Amen? Okay, getting no amens on that one. I don't know why sin is so taboo in the church. Why are we afraid to talk about that? Look, it is what it is, amen? And we're going to talk about it. Y'all can get rid of me later, but we're going to talk about it today, amen? We're going to deal with the sinner, and guess what else we're going to deal with? We're going to deal with the sin. I'm so sick of these cliches of Christians. You know, we got to love the sinner and hate the sin. You show me in what Bible verse you're going to find that. I'm going to say it again, love the sinner and hate the sin. First of all, it's not loving to allow a person to be stuck in their sin and you're not willing to tell them that they're on their way to hell.
All right.
It's not hateful to tell somebody that because you're in sin, God wants you to be holy. God wants to bring you to heaven. God doesn't want you to live like this. God loved us enough to send Jeremiah, Obadiah, Zechariah, Zephaniah, and all the rest of them to tell us, look here, if you don't get your life right, then guess what? There's a place for you. We got to love each other enough to say, you know what, although I don't agree with this lifestyle, guess what? I still love you. I love you enough to tell you the truth.
Amen.
There's still hope, amen? There's still a hope that exists for people. I'm not going to sit back and say, oh, you just, there's no hope for you. You're on your way to hell. Because what if somebody would have done that to me? What if somebody had done that to you? So we have to deal with this thing. Every sermon can't be about everybody giving me encouragement. No, we got to speak the truth, amen? And we got to do it in such a way that allows us to be effective. Effective ministry will allow me to go and talk about a hard topic, and you can be totally receptive to it because it's not me, it's about God. And it's about understanding, it's about conviction. You may not like me in the moment, but when you go home and sit and think about it, and if you're truly walking in God, you're going to have some time to think about this thing and say, you know what? God was right. You don't have to say Perry was right. You don't have to say Willie was right or whoever came to you was right. You can say what? The word of God is truth.
Amen.
Absolute truth.
Amen.
No relativity about it. Absolute truth. Amen? Amen. And that's what we're going to do today. Is that all right with you all? Amen. Amen. Let's look at the sinner first and foremost. We can see in this scripture that we're discussing. His name was Achan or Achar. And he was from a tribe of Judah. But I want you to know that his name means trouble. I always tell people nowadays, I work for Children Division, be careful what you name your child. Be very careful. There's meaning behind this thing. This thing is real, amen? I want you to get it. He came from one of the prominent families of the noble tribe of Judah. Y'all know anything about the tribe of Judah, you would know that they had it going on. Now, they didn't go to Sunday school like we do, but what they did was they abided by the laws that God had given them. They were holy, everybody. They were right. Now, it doesn't mean they didn't make mistakes along the way, but everything that God instructed them to do, they did the very best to try to follow that. Amen? I want you to see where he came from. He is known in the Bible. He is known in Bible history as the man who troubled Israel. When somebody look back over your life, who are you going to be known as? What are they going to remember you by? Now, because of his disobedience, Israel was defeated at Ai, and the enemy killed 36 Jewish soldiers. Now, if you go back, remember the scripture started off with but. If you go back and read the previous chapter, you'll realize that they had victory. Victory all the way up until this occurrence. So the question now for the leadership is like, hey, man, why are we losing? God, you're on our side. We're always victorious. And you can't lose a battle, but somehow you allow this one to happen? Something's not right. Something's going on. And we need to figure this thing out. Amen? It is a defeat that is forever associated with his name. Whenever you see his name, which means trouble, he's going to always have associated with him the defeat at Ai. You all still there?
Amen.
All right. Here's what I want you to understand. We should never underestimate the amount of damage one person can do outside the will of God. I'm going to say it again. Never underestimate the amount of damage one person can do outside of the will of God. How do I know that? Look at Abraham disobedient in Egypt. It almost cost him his wife. You all know the story. One man. Look at David's disobedience when he took the unauthorized census, which led to the death of how many people? 70,000 people. Because of his disobedience. Y'all don't believe me? There's a scripture right there for you. Write it down. Take a picture. Do something. Read it for yourselves. We can never underestimate the damage one person can do outside the will of God. Look at Jonah. His refusal to obey God almost sank a whole ship. You know, that thing got real to me because I come from the U.S. Navy. I come from an aircraft carrier. I come from a place where, guess what? I have to rely so heavily upon you. One person can cause a whole ship to sink. Well, this is not a ship. This is a church. And if I identify that there's something that's going on that can cause us to sink, then guess what? That needs to be rectified. Can I preach in this place this morning?
Amen.
That's why Paul admonished the Corinthian believers to discipline the disobedient man in their fellowship, because his sin was doing what? Defiling the whole church. But we don't preach on that, though. I ain't saying kick the person out. I'm saying you go get with that person and say, hey, we need to talk. Am I making any sense this morning? We're still on the sinner. God made it clear, y'all catch this. He made it clear that Israel sinned and not just Achan alone. It was perfectly clear. You all may say, well, man, I didn't have nothing to do with that. Yes, you did. And I'm going to show you how. I have a question for you. Why would God blame the whole nation for the disobedience of only one soldier? I know somebody want to answer it. I know it. I appreciate that. Because Israel was one people in the Lord and not just some assorted collection of families or individuals. This church ain't the Woodmores. This ain't the Johnsons. It ain't about the Hogans. It ain't about any other person, the Oates or Leeds or whoever. It's all us, everybody. This is about all of us. Now, the things that I said make up the church. We the people or the church. But we are one people in the Lord. We are one people in the Lord, you all. I need us to understand God's role in this thing. God had dwelt in the midst of their camp, and this made the Jews the Lord's special people. Don't you all want God to dwell in the midst of our camp? I told them earlier, we don't have to invite God in this place because he's already dwelling in this place. And but because he dwells here, we got to make this place holy. God can't be sitting around unholiness. He can't be sitting around unrighteousness. I love to keep my house clean because you never know who's going to pop up. When Jesus popped up with my house, man, what do I have to go and hide? Ooh, I hope I'm making sense to you all this morning. God walked in about their camp, so the camp has to be kept holy, everybody. It's in the scripture. And guess what? Anyone who disobeyed God defiled the camp. And the defilement affected their relationship with the Lord. And it not only affected their relationship with God, it affected their relationship with the people. I need us to understand this, everybody. This is serious. This is serious. Y'all see that? First time I saw that, a couple years ago. My wife and I, we find ourselves without church home, find ourselves with like no place to go. Thank God for the internet. We Googled y'all. And what we found was a whole bunch of smiling faces like right now. I can tell you I'm not here for him because the first day I came to the church, he didn't even preach. But I can tell you about somebody who walked up to us and said, hey, how old are your kids? Because they come to Sunday school with me. I can tell you about somebody else who came and gave me a hug. How you doing, brother? I can tell you about one who's out of town right now who came over with a big old church hat and extended love to me and my family with all our flaws and everything. I can tell you about somebody who just said, yeah, I'm your mama, ain't nothing you can do about it. She do everybody like that, though, so. I can tell you about one who embraced us. I can tell you about one who wasn't really all about me, but someone who loved my family just as much as they say that they love me. And I believed it. And I came back the next week. And I came back every week thereafter. And it had nothing to do with this individual right here. It had everything to do with what we have in common. And that's that love of Christ. If you didn't love Christ, there's no way you could have extended that love to not only myself, but my family as well. My family and I, we can admit that, yeah, we are a mess. We can tell you that we are a mess. People say, well, you all get frustrated. You all want to step away and try to leave for something. Why? Because we know that God is not playing. We stepped away from the last church because they were out of order. And God had to deal with that church. But I let God deal with it with me someplace else. I don't want the same thing to happen. That's why we got to preach against these things. And then, matter of fact, you can't go up and preach one thing, but then allow the very thing you preach against, you allow happen. Ain't no women should be pastors, but your wife, oh my God. I ain't got to say his name. But it's that kind of stuff right there. What do we all have in common? I love this church. This logo means a lot to me because it's bigger than this. It's more than just that. I could have got a better copy, but it's bigger than this, everybody. When I see this, it's like I'm associated with that. I know proud is a word that shouldn't be in our vernacular, but I'm proud to be a part of TCC. I love being a part of TCC. God's people today are what? One body in Christ. TCC, if you all can just bear with me. I believe that we belong to each other. Can I get someone to agree with me? Amen. Just two or three of you is okay. How many of y'all believe that we need each other?
Amen.
How many of y'all believe that what we do affects each other?
Amen.
This is who we are, everybody. We are Trinity Community Church. And I hope that anything and everything that I'm saying is making sense to us. Because we got to move forward. God is walking around our camp, everybody. He's walking around our camp. And if there's any stagnation, we had to ask ourselves, what is holding us back? I got a few nurses in here, and I got people who just generally know that any weakness or infection in one part of a human body will contribute to the weakness in other parts. How many of y'all been sick? How many of y'all can agree with that? Oh, yeah. Which is why many people do what? Sometimes it resorts to having to remove that thing because we don't want that infection to spread. I'm not trying to remove people. I'm trying to remove that thing that we're hiding. Is this making sense? Guess what? It's the same thing with the body of Christ, everybody. If one member suffer, guess what? We all suffer. Amen. How am I suffering? Because if you suffer at home, you're suffering with an injury or whatever the case, man, there's one less person I can come and worship with on Sunday. There's one more person I got to pray for God heal that individual. There's one more person I got to go and visit. Is this making any sense? Mm-hmm. Are we doing these things? Or we just coming to Sunday school saying all the right stuff? I need to deal with the sin. I'm not going to be long, everybody. Achan, he heard his command to give the order. And I want you all to pay close attention to this. He gave an order that all the treasure in Jericho were to be devoted to the Lord and placed in his treasury. All the treasure was to be devoted to the Lord and placed in his treasury. Achan disobeyed, and then he took what I would consider three hazardous steps that led to sin and ultimately to his death. I'm not really going to get a whole lot into that piece. I want to come back later on. But how many of y'all know that he died because of his sin? Amen. And how many of y'all realize that not only did he die, his family died as well? Right. Now, his family had to suffer because of the sins of the individual. Not only that, the reputation now that has tarnished that church that he was a part of because of that. This is serious, everybody. Here's what he did. He saw, he coveted, and then he took. He saw, he coveted, and he took. I think you want to find out who we are, all we got to do is go back to the very beginning. You want to find out what God is saying to you and who you are and what he's doing, just go back to the very beginning. Eve did the same thing when she listened to the devil. She saw something, she coveted it, she took that bite. Now we got to work. And you all got to have kids. And that's something. We was chilling, you know. Well, they were chilling, you know what I'm saying? But amen. But that wasn't the end of the story, though. Amen. But I need you to learn from the mistakes. I'm so glad that the Bible gives us what we need, teaches us what we need to learn. I look at David, you all, when he yielded to the flesh. Y'all know that story when he stood on top of that roof. He looked down at that girl, was like, oh, who is that? Hey, y'all, hey, go get old girl and bring her on. I'm paraphrasing. But you read the NLT, it'll probably say it just like that. That's exactly what happened. He yielded to the flesh. Same thing. He saw a girl, looked at her, it was nice, had to have it. So since Achan coveted the things of the world, guess what? He brought defeat to Israel and death to himself and who else? His whole family. This is real, everybody. His first mistake was that he took the treasures or the spoils a second time, or he took a look at it. He took a look at it. Told a guy at work. He said, yeah, P, I was at Snooks or, you know, Snooks right here on or whatever where I work at. I saw a girl, man, she was bad. He's married. I'm not saying you can't have a physical attraction. But the problem is once the girl walks past, you know what we do. It's that second look. It's that look back like, oh, my goodness. That's what got him. It's that second look. Because now you got time to think about this thing now. See, when it's first presented to you, you can't help but see we're physically attracted to people. That's just happened. That's how God created us. But it was that second look that caused the problem. The scripture tells us to let your eyes look directly forward. You go and read Proverbs. It says, stop swerving to the left and swerving to the right. No, you got to keep your eyes on Christ Jesus. Amen. In fact, I heard somebody say this morning, I was looking around all over the place, but guess what I needed to do? And my situation didn't change until I looked up. Amen. Look up. And if you ain't looking up, look in that scripture. And you're going to find what you're looking for. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. The Bible says, man, the Lord will give you a way of escape. You got to want to, though. He was talking about temptation. We use that scripture a lot for a whole lot of stuff, but he was talking about the sexual sin and the temptation that exists with all that. He said, look, I'll give you a way out of this thing. Do you want it, though? That's the issue. Now, oftentimes with our sin, you know, we think, oh, well, it's just whatever I got hiding, my tent is so small and insignificant. I need you to understand that you're talking the shekels and the gold and the silver and that Babylonian garment that he had. Yeah, it was worth a little something. It wasn't a whole lot. And sometimes we take on sin and we tend to think that, well, you know, my sin is not that big. I'm not doing something that's like this really big thing. It's a real small, subtle thing. But the sum from the charge seems small, but the sum is not insignificant to be connected with great transgression. Guess what? There are going to be times when, yes, the little small things is what's going to cause the greatest hardship in your life. When you stumble on something, you may have, and I heard somebody tell me this before, when you stumble on something, you may stumble on a small little rock or a pebble. You're not stumbling on the big mountain that's right there. You talked about mountains and valleys. We talking about an individual who was just at the mountaintop having victory over in Jericho, now finding themselves in the valley over in Ai. What happened between chapter 6 and chapter 7? Sin. Amen. The guy say, man, it ain't no big deal. I remember, you all probably remember those who were tech savvy. They went around killing people for their iPhones. I mean, they were really robbing people for their iPhones. One person didn't want to give it up, ended up getting killed. Now, a little iPhone, it may have been worth $400 or $500 back then. I'm talking about the iPhone 2 or something like that. They was going around, read it, look it up, all in London. Killing people. You got guys in murder for stuff that's so insignificant, but yet we can see how sin is so detrimental to us. Yeah. We think that because it's a small thing, it's not that big of a deal. We think because it ain't hurting nobody, it's not a big deal. No, it is a big deal.
Yes, it is.
It's a really big deal. How many of you know that little symptoms are oftentimes the signs of a deadly and incurable disease? It starts off as a little cough. It starts off real subtle, like a snowball at the top of a hill that only gets bigger and bigger as it begins to go down that mountain. Amen. And then as it gets bigger and it's accumulated more power and it's getting wider and wider and it's destroying everything in its path. And it could have been nipped in the bud in the very beginning. I'm going back to Eve. The fruit that she ate, that was a little thing. A little thing. Wasn't that big, was it? Now, I know the pictures may describe it as an apple. We don't know what the fruit is. It was fruit. It was forbidden. God said, don't touch it.
Right.
Period.
Right.
Big or small, don't touch it. But guess what? That proved that she had fallen from innocence and had become a sinner. That little bitty piece of fruit. Let's go to his second mistake. Now, this is the one that trips me out. This is one that trips me out, brother. His second mistake was trying to reclassify the treasures and then calling them spoils. How you going to reclassify something? They were not spoils. They were part of the Lord's treasury and wholly dedicated to him. He going to try to convince himself, well, I'm going to just take these spoils because, you know, I'm going to just put that in my pocket. Ain't nobody watching me. I'm going to send it back to my tent where it's hidden. And every day, I'm going to go hide in my tent. I wish we had video so y'all could see me. I'm going to just look right here, and I'm going to just go and touch my stuff right here because, you know, ain't nobody, can nobody else see I got it going on, right? Oh, somebody coming. I got it. They looking. They didn't belong to Achan. They didn't belong to Israel. They belonged to God. Those were his treasures. We can't take God's treasure and then call it a spoil just to convince ourselves that the sin that we're doing is acceptable. You can't reclassify this thing. Look, when God identifies something in a special way, we have no right to change it. No right to change it. You look at our world today, even the religious folk, I'm talking church folk today, trying to rewrite God's dictionary. I'm so sick of this. So sick of people trying to change the word of God. I look at marriage, for example. Marriage, by definition, is legally and formally recognized an intimate and complementing union of two people as spousal partners in a personal relationship between who? Man and who else? Woman. I couldn't even watch TV yesterday because everything I turned on had something going on that was totally opposite of a reflection of what God had established as marriage. I couldn't even watch the home makeover show. I just want to get some crown molding. And I got these two guys sitting up here. They loving and swapping spit and everything. But yet we don't want to preach about it in the church because with love and kindness have I drawn thee. They on their way to hell and you ain't even sharing the gospel with them. You sit at work and you say, no, speak the gospel to children. You can't speak it. Don't be a part of it. Amen. You're going to sit up there and let them go to hell. Then guess what? You just as guilty because you don't want to share the gospel with them. I'm not done. Homosexuality. People say, the church is always talking about homosexuality. That's the most prevalent sin that exists today. Uh-huh. Everywhere you go, it's a problem. I said before, oftentimes a lot of preachers can't preach against it. Why? Because they may be indulging some sin themselves. But who letting them do it? The people letting them do it. Why? Because he preached so well. And he sounds so good. He's so charismatic, or whatever the case may be. When are you all going to step up and say, Perry, I wish you would come up here cheating on your wife. I'm sitting you down. All right. That's the mindset we have to have. You shouldn't be accepting that kind of stuff. You should hold the leadership to a different type of standard. Look at homosexuality. The scripture tells us you should not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. It ain't just sin. It's an abomination. God said, I have to give you a whole different word. I challenge you to look up abomination. I don't spend too much time here. Scripture goes on to say, if a man lies with a male as with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. And guess what? They shall surely be put to death and their blood is upon them. But we live in our church today. Well, you know, that's the Old Testament. That's the Old Testament. That ain't relevant anymore. You don't give no grace. You preach hell and damnation. Whatever. Here's the deal. Oh my God. That rainbow, y'all, that belongs to God. You talking about somebody, oh my God, the church that we come. Matter of fact, I was driving over here and the big old church, big old rainbow. And I was like, oh my God, had the nerve to have the word covenant in the church name or the name of the church. Kind of covenant. What? Now, we know that for those who know the scripture know what the sign of the rainbow and what it really represents. The covenant that God had with his people, that because of the stuff that they were doing, I ain't going to kill them off this way no more. God didn't get that rainbow for you and I. He gave it to himself. Read the scripture as a reminder to himself not to do what he did. God was so displeased that he repented of even creating us. We too afraid to even speak about it. That rainbow belongs to God. Here's what I discovered. I discovered that there are so many churches out there where the lifestyle is accepted that, guess what? They got affirming churches. You're new to a town. You don't know where to go. Go to Google. Go to www.gaychurch.org and you can get a list of all the churches that will accept your lifestyle. a whole list of the churches that will accept what it is that you do. I'm preaching against this stuff. I ain't going to stop preaching against it. This don't make sense. You can't change something. If God had said it this way, that's the way it's going to be. We can't just come in and be like, well, you know, that, well, he didn't mean it that way and so on and so forth. We're going to always find excuses for trying to justify what we want to do in Scripture. God clearly said a man is the head and man will be the leadership. Well, you know, the women back in the day, they didn't have any education, so that's why I can be a pastor because, you know. Amen. I'm telling you what's going on in the church. Amen. When dealing with this particular issue, all I'm asking is that we do it with love and with grace. But to not say anything at all, that's a problem. That is a problem. Y'all remember that? No matter what you do, you can't even eat chips now without the agenda. I love Doritos. I still eat them. I just eat the Cool Ranch flavor now. But I look at this and I'm like, this is everything, everywhere we go, everything. There is nothing bolder than being yourself. Now, I know all of you are thinking about all kinds of scriptures that will contradict that foolishness right now. There's a whole lot of scripture that will contradict that. Yeah, we're going to find out how bold they are on come judgment day. When we all got to stand before the Lord and account for what we've done. Look at the scripture. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Who put darkness for light and light for darkness. Who put bitter sweet and sweet for bitter. You can't change the word of God. You can't make God's words mean something else. You can't make it mean what you want it to mean because it's convenient for you and it lines up with your lifestyle. No one can separate me from the love. Oh my God. Okay, you use that if you want to. You better use it in the proper context. You better ask somebody. His third sin, we're almost done. His third sin was to covet. The scripture teaches that each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. That's in you. The enemy knows everybody. He knows their vulnerability. He knows. The enemy will give you urge to want to step out one night knowing that the person that you are involved with is not, you ain't feeling them right now. The enemy knows how to bring somebody up and say all the right things. Can I make sense in here? The enemy knows your vulnerabilities. I look back at Christ's life and I look at how the enemy tried to tempt him. You fast for 40 days and 40 nights and tell me you won't be hungry. So the enemy even tried to use scripture because he knew who Christ was. Well, if you know you're hungry, man, go ahead and turn that stone into what? Loaves of bread. Why? To fulfill that fleshly desire. And the enemy knows that, guess what? It's our natural propensity to want to fulfill this fleshly desire. Sin feels good. It looks good. It smells good. Oftentimes it tastes good. But it leads us to a place that's no good for us. And I'm just asking us for us to consider what God is saying to us. Look, the silver, the gold, and that Babylonian garment that existed, they were dishonestly and dishonorably gained. Paul even called coveting idolatry because the thing you covet and take usually becomes your God and it controls your life. If you knew anybody who coveted something, you would know, man, it seemed like that's all they talk about. That's all they want to deal with. That's all they interact with. Coveting is the root of so much evil in society today, and it all just takes one look. One look, everybody. That's all it took. I told you about David and Bathsheba. How did that start? with him gazing over the top of that roof, right? It was just one look. Ahab, when he covered Naboth's vineyard. For those who know scripture, know what I'm talking about. For those who are in sin, know what I'm talking about. You look at Judas. What did he do? For how much? 30 pieces. Call it chump change. Do you look at the love of money? Because that was it. This Babylonian garment represents status. It represented a place of wealth, materials. And then he took the gold and the silver on top of that. We're talking about wealth, everybody. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And through this craving, some have wandered so far from the faith and pierced their hearts with many sorrows. This is truth that I'm speaking. Look at his fourth mistake. It's the one I wanted to really hit home. His fourth mistake was to think he would get away with his sin by hiding it. Okay. I'm going back to the very beginning, as I mentioned before. Adam and Eve tried to cover their sin, and they tried to run and hide. Only after one tried to blame the other one. When that didn't work, well, I got to run and go and hide. They went and found kind of twigs and branches and leaves and everything. The Lord discovered him because he knows everything. He's all knowing. He asked a question. Where are you? You got to believe God had already known where he was at. But you're the man of God. And this is what you out doing. Where you at right now? Where's your heart at? Where's your mind at? You can't hide from me. I know everything. This is serious. Y'all know that scripture in Numbers? It says, be sure your sin will find you out. That was said to the people of God. That wasn't said to the lost people or the unbelievers. It was the people of God that was first mentioned to. It was God's people. It was very foolish for him to think that God couldn't see what he was doing. Well, the scripture tells us, all things are naked and open to the eyes of him, we must give an account. The Lord sees everything. See, you can come to church every Sunday and play this thing. You can dress up and try to cover it up. You can come in with all your Babylonian garments. It looks real good and everything, but guess what? God knows. God knows when you're sitting at home doing something you don't supposed to be doing. God knows when you're out at work doing stuff you don't supposed to be doing. God knows when I was in sin, I would try to withhold certain things. I don't know how this woman find out, but she always has a way of finding out. Come on, my wife. All I can do is repent and move on. God was letting me know you can't hide nothing. God will expose us to really make us better. Now, I'm glad because of his mercy that he's not necessarily killing us off in the way that we see in the Old Testament. I'm so glad that things have changed just slightly. Here's what really, this is the part that really gets me. His sin was even more repulsive when you think about everything that God has done for you. When you sit up and sing songs, I just can't stop praising his name. I just can't stop praising his name, Jesus. You think about everything God has done for you, but then you go back and do the same things that cause separation. Sin is separation from God. Do you really mean what you're singing? Say what you mean. Most importantly, mean what you say. Live this thing out. You're right. God cared for him and his family in the wilderness. God has been so good. Y'all heard my testimony when we were homeless. No place to go. But God took care of us. God brought us safely across the Jordan and given them the victory at Jericho. That's what God had did. They were singing songs. Songs of praise and adulation unto God. The Lord, look, he went even further. That wasn't enough. The Lord had accepted Achan as a son of the covenant at Gilgal. Yet in spite of all those experiences, in spite of everything that God has done for him, he disobeyed God just to possess some kind of wealth that he couldn't even live to enjoy. Shall a man rob God? That was God's stuff. Before he can even get his hands on it real good. Couldn't nobody even see him with it. Had he just waited, everybody, he could have gathered all the spoils he wanted. What am I saying? If we're just patient, everybody, if we could just wait on the Lord, God could give us everything that we want. Everything that we need, God will give it to us if we just wait. I got to close with this. This scripture needs to mean more than, this means everything to you. But seek what? First, the kingdom of God and what? His righteousness. And guess what else? All these things will be added to you. I'm going to close with just several questions. I need you to focus and pay attention right now. Everyone under the sound of my voice needs to pay close attention to what I'm getting ready to ask you. Because these questions are not of myself. These questions are from the Lord. But it affects us. No more can we walk around and, you know, stop telling me what Perry, I'm frustrated, I come and share something with you and you start saying stuff like, well, you know, you can just watch what you say. No, it ain't just about myself because we're connected because we're one body. What you do affects me. So yes, I am concerned. It ain't about me. It is no longer about individuals. It's about us as a body. Yes. Stop coming to me with that, well, you just do what you got to do. No. Mm-hmm. We got to do what we got to do. It's about us, everybody. Here are these questions. Is there someone who knows God, knows God's will, and yet secretly has defined it? Is our sin bringing barrenness and weakness into our church? Or are you the cause of God removing his blessing? Do you forgive whatever grievances you may have against another? Do you bear with others? Do you keep away from every brother who is idle and does not live according to Christian teaching? The Lord said on the Sermon on the Mount, if your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be what? Thrown into hell. I'm not done. Are you actively pursuing righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness? Or are you fighting the good fight of faith? Or are you keeping God's commands without spot or blame? And will you go on doing so until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you growing weary of sound doctrine and starting to search for teachers who will say what your itchy ears want to hear? Do you say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and live a self-controlled, upright, and godly life today? God knows how to anoint the heads of all the H-heads that he has in his church, and I certainly was one of them. He knows how much chastening that we can take, and he knows what we cannot take. I believe that God is a God of second chance. Amen? David, he said, the Lord restored my soul. Now, we all know the story of David. We heard a little bit about him today. He's the same guy that went to Jonah the second time and recommissioned him. Well, he could have left him out there in that belly. When Jesus knew that Peter was going to deny him, came back even after Peter was broken, devastated after his denial of Christ. What did he tell him? Hey, Peter, I need you to feed my sheep, feed my lambs. I was an Achan. If you're an Achan, if there's any Achan in you, I need you to be real and honest. I want you to confess your sin today and receive mercy from God in heaven. Today is the day. Dear Lord, we just thank you. We just thank you that you are God of salvation.